and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for a meditation this morning is recorded for us in Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 1, beginning with the 12th verse. This is our second lesson for today, this third Sunday after Pentecost. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, Stephen was chosen as one of seven men who would help serve the church by taking care of some of the work for the apostles. But as we learn in Acts, Stephen didn't just wait on tables. He was given the power and authority to perform miracles and other wondrous signs. He also preached about Christ. But this didn't sit well with some of the Jews that Stephen would talk about Christ. So they brought Stephen in front of the Sanhedrin, the same council that sentenced Jesus to death. And before the Sanhedrin, Stephen preached a sermon. A sermon on the history of the Israelites and how they constantly rebelled against God and rejected his prophets. He then compared the Israelites from of old to the Jews of his time who rejected the Holy Spirit, rebelled against the Holy Spirit, and rejected Jesus as the promised Messiah. Oh, this infuriated the Sanhedrin. So those group of Jews, they grabbed Stephen, took him outside of the city in order to stone him to death. They took rocks and pelted Stephen with rocks until he eventually died, became the first Christian martyr. There's a young man there that day holding the cloaks of those who stoned Stephen. And as he watched, he looked on with approval of what they did. That young man's name, of course, was Saul. We learn that soon Saul went out and destroyed the church. He went from house to house, dragging Christians out of their homes and putting them in chains and taking them to jail. Later on, we learn that Saul got written permission from the high priest to go up to Damascus to go and grab Christians from Damascus, bind them in chains, and take them down to prison in Jerusalem. It was Saul's personal plan to get rid of anyone who professed Christ and clinged to the gospel. You see, Saul was a zealous man, zealous for what he thought was right. And he was raised as a strict Pharisee. He loved the laws of God and the man-made laws of the Pharisees, and anyone who didn't agree with him, anyone who didn't follow his man-made laws, anyone who didn't cling to those Old Testament rules and regulations set forth and explained by the Pharisees, well, he saw as sinning against the Lord. So he learned to despise Christians. Of course, Saul the persecutor, we know better as Paul the apostle. Paul, 3 years before his death, talked about his former way of life. He says, "I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man." Paul blasphemed God. That means he mocked God, he ridiculed God, he said horrible and detestable things about God. Of course he did. He rejected Christ. He denied that Jesus was the Messiah. And since Jesus is God, by mocking Jesus, he blasphemed God. We already talked about how he was a persecutor of Christians, throwing them into jail. And when he did so, he didn't just handcuff them and put them in nicely. No, he was a violent man. He probably beat them and abused those Christians until he threw them into jail. Doesn't surprise us then that in our text for today in verse 15, when Paul is talking about sinners, that he would say that he was the worst of sinners, of whom I am the worst. Actually, the Greek says, of whom I am the foremost, or the chief of sinners, or the first of sinners. Paul saw himself as sinning more than anybody else. He was the leader of sinners. Some might just play off that comment. Oh, Paul, you're just using hyperbole. You're just over-exaggerating for effect. You can honestly believe that you are the worst of sinners, Paul. I mean, sure, you might have done some bad things in your life. One of the worst of sinners. You can probably come up with a list of 10 people, maybe in your lives, maybe throughout history, out of the top of your head in less than a minute, that you would label as worse sinners than Paul. Perhaps you thought of Hitler or Stalin or Osama bin Laden or Nero or Caligula or Vlad the Impaler or any other names as worse sinners than Paul. But did you think about yourself? Did you come to mind? Now, you should disagree with Paul. No, Paul, you're not the worst of sinners. I am the worst of sinners. And that's how Christians look at themselves, as the worst of sinners. And you look at yourself as the worst of sinners, not just because you know your secret sins. You know your thoughts. You know all the things that you have kept hidden from others. And since you know all your sins, and you don't know all the sins of others, of course when you compare the sins that you know of yourself to the sins that you know others committed, of course you have committed more sins. But this is more than just a comparison. For when we compare our sins to someone, we compare ourselves not to others, but to Christ, who was without sin. And this just isn't just calling ourselves the worst of sinners, because that's what we are supposed to do. That is what we're supposed to think of ourselves. Nope, we call ourselves the worst of sinners, because that is what you are, the worst sinner. Some might disagree. I haven't been that bad, you might object. I've never committed murder. I've never raped anybody. I've never committed adultery. I've never committed any major crime, let alone even have something as small as a traffic ticket. So how can I honestly call myself the worst of sinners? But you still hated someone. You still had indecent thoughts. You still have said many hurtful and hateful and unloving things. You still have committed many sins in your thoughts, words, and actions. And in the eyes of God, those are just as disgusting and deplorable and damnable as murder and rape and genocide and what have you. You are the worst of sinners. Notice also that Paul wasn't talking about his former way of life. Paul said, of whom I am the worst. Not of whom I was the worst. When Paul saw himself as a worst sinner, he wasn't looking back at his life. He was looking at his life then. Not as Saul a persecutor, but as Paul the apostle. He looked at his life and saw that he didn't always obey God's will. He looked at his life and saw that he didn't follow God's command. In Romans 7, about 10 years before Paul wrote our text for today, Paul talked about his sin. He confessed, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." Paul saw himself as the worst of sinners, and so do you. And yet, Christ saved you. just as he did Paul. Now, Paul was on his way to Damascus to arrest those Christians and throw them into jail when suddenly a light from heaven came down. And Jesus himself appeared to Saul. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Jesus said. Jesus was true. Jesus, who Paul or Saul had rejected, Jesus, whose children he was persecuting, was truly alive, was truly real, was truly God. Jesus made Paul physically blind, but gave him spiritual sight. He sent a man, Ananias, to Paul, who baptized him, who talked to him, and through him, Paul was given back his physical sight. The conversion of Paul from an unbeliever to a believer. Paul was saved. And that's ultimately the reason why Jesus came into this world, as Paul points out in verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Christ Jesus came down into the world to save the world. That's his first and primary purpose. He didn't come down into this world to save the Israelites from political oppression. He didn't come to become a bread king to supply the world with an endless supply of food. He didn't come to change the world by healing diseases or showing compassion to the poor and needy. He didn't come to be an example for us to follow in this life. No, the first and primary purpose of why Christ came into this world was to save sinners. To live a perfect life for us, not disobeying God. And to give us that perfect life when he took our sins upon himself, when he suffered through their eternal punishment on the cross. To make us pure and innocent in the eyes of the Lord. To rise from the dead 3 days after he died, to give us the sure hope of eternal life with him in heaven forever. The primary purpose for Christ for coming is to save sinners. And that means he came to save you. To save you, the worst of sinners. To save you from eternal damnation. To save you who are helpless to save yourself. Save you, a child of the devil. Christ Jesus came to the world with one thing in mind, and that was to save you. Just as he did Paul. But Christ did more than just save Paul. He also made Paul an apostle. As he told Ananias, God was going to call Paul to be my chosen instrument to carry out my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. And we know all about Paul's missionary journeys. He went throughout the Mediterranean world spreading the gospel, starting congregations, and through him the Holy Spirit saved many. Paul, who had been persecuting those who loved the gospel, those who were followers of Christ he arrested, he now spent his whole life spreading the gospel and making followers for Christ through that gospel. Paul didn't deserve any of it. He didn't deserve to be called a child of God, let alone an apostle of God. He didn't earn any of it. Paul was quick to point out that he didn't earn any of these blessings from God, just as he didn't earn the eternal life. He said, "I was shown mercy. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Jesus had mercy and compassion on Paul. He saw him as a helpless sinner. And his heart went out to him. And why would God show such mercy to Paul, this worst of sinners? For that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. In Paul, we see an example of how Jesus deals with each and every one of us. Jesus had patience with Paul. Not treating Paul as his sins deserve, not striking Paul down, he was sinning against him. But giving Paul time. Paul time to turn from his evil ways and turn to the Lord. Giving Paul time to repent through faith in him. And he does the same for you. He's patient and merciful and loving with you. Giving you many times to repent and turn to him. Turn away from your evil sin. Giving you more time to hear the gospel and to spread his word. Peter makes that same point in the third chapter of his second letter. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Before Paul was the apostle, he was Saul, the persecutor. Before Moses was chosen to lead the people of Egypt, lead the people out of Egypt, he was a murderer who had to flee his country. Before Matthew was called to be an apostle, he was a tax collector, and tax collectors were known as cheats and thieves. Let's throw one more in there. David, who wrote our psalm for today. He wrote that psalm after he was discovered that he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, got her pregnant, and in hopes of covering it up, murdered her husband. So you have a murderer, a thief, a violent persecutor of Christians, and an adulterer slash murderer, all who were chosen by God, all who were saved by Christ. All four were given God's love, mercy, and grace. Not because of who they were, but out of the love of God. And God chose all four to lead his people. All four to write the words that we read or that we sang for today. All four wrote about themselves, wrote about their sins, and the grace of our Lord. So you have a murderer, a thief, a violent persecutor of Christians, an adulterer slash murderer, who are not only saved, but also chosen to lead God's people, and also chosen to write the very words of Scripture. Not only do we see God's mercy and compassion, but we also see that the power of the gospel, how effective the gospel is, does not depend on who the person is, does not depend on how holy the person is, how perfect the person is, but the power of the gospel depends on the Holy Spirit alone. God has called me to be a minister of the gospel. But I am the worst of sinners. I don't deserve to be called his child, let alone a shepherd of his flock. And yet the power of the gospel doesn't depend on who I am, but on Christ. As a Christian, you too have been called to spread the gospel, to share the message with everyone you come in contact with. And you are the worst of sinners. For the power of the gospel doesn't depend on you, but on Christ. So you remain faithful to the Word and faithfully spread His message whenever you get the chance, so the Holy Spirit may work His power through that gospel. What grace and mercy God has showered upon you, the worst of sinners. He saved you and He gives you the awesome privilege of sharing His message with others. And so you can say the same thing as Paul. I thank Jesus Christ our Lord. And you can give Him honor and praise and sing His glory. You can't help but tell others about Him because of His mercy and the compassion that He has showered upon you, the worst of sinners. For He has forgiven you and has given you the sure promise of eternal life with Him in heaven forever. And so you know that through faith, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so then you can say along with Paul, to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Please stand.